Okay, in Parshas Lukas, we have the Parsha of Tumas Kohanim, the halachas of Tumas Oel, and the halachas of Tumas Oel may be a source for the following two issues that we'll discuss this evening. One of them is the Gemara that tells us halacha, not putting food or drink under your bed, and the other is a relatively later minug of not removing items from a base Oel that you don't have in Rishonim. We'll talk about the source of that and what the reasoning maybe. The Gemara tells us in Psachim and Daf Kuf Yudbeis Amud Beis. Psachim Kuf Yudbeis Amud Beis. Let's pull up the share screen. Kuf Yudbeis Amud Aleph, right? The Gemara says, Tana Ochlun Mashkin Tachas Amita Afila Mechubin Bechli Barzel Ruach Rosh Aralein. If a person has food or drink under a bed, even if the food or drink are covered by a super tight and secure cover, even if they're in a kli barzel, an iron container, they are subject to a ruach ra, some kind of impure spirit. And that's quoted halacha in Yeridaya, Simen Kuf Tazayin Sefei, Kuf Tazayin Sefei. Lo, Yamashkim Tachas Hamita, Venesha Ruach Ra, Shor Aleihem. That a person should not have liquid under his bed because that is subject to a ruach ra. I think I left off a couple words from the citation. It says, lo yitein tafshel v'lo mashkim tachas hamita. You're not allowed to put food or drink under a bed because they are subject to a ruach ra. So it's interesting that the way the Rambam goes to Salacha in Hilchos Ratzeach Shmiras Nefesh Perek Yudbeis Halacha Hey, the Rambam writes, Lo yiten a tafshil tachas hamita, af apishu oseg besuda, shema yipo bodaber hamazik hu einu ro'eyus. So that's a very different approach, nothing to do with ruach ra, which the Rambam doesn't mention. He just says you shouldn't put a tafshil under a bed, even when you are in the context of a suda, because you're worried maybe something that could potentially be mazik could fall into the food, and you won't see it. It's going to be out of sight, it's under the bed, something could fall in. So along the lines of the halachas of Giloy, that you can't have uncovered beverages because we're concerned that a snake may come and inject venom. So you also can't have food under a bed because it's out of sight and something dangerous may come and appear inside the food. The Ravid is Masig, Gamzeb Yushalmi, and Mefarshim Mishu Ruach Ra. There's a Bavli also, and the Yushalmi. The reason is Ruach Ra. Not what the Rambam says, that we're worried about Davar Hamazik coming in and potentially harming the food. So the Adrisha points out there in Sukkot and Zion, he notes the difference in reason from the Rambam, and he suggests, when he has daiti lo pligi a Rambam v'ran. He quotes the Ran as reflective of the Shita, the simple understanding of the Gemara, that we're worried about Ruach Ra. The Ran Mayri B'mita She'eshenim Olaf. The concern is, the Ran is talking about a case where you have a bed that you sleep on, and then you have food under the bed that you sleep on. So then that's going to be subject to Ruach Ra, that there's some connection between a bed that you sleep on and Ruach Ra. The Ram is talking about a bed that you sit on when you're eating. It used to be that people ate Beseba. So a bed was a reasonable venue for eating. The Hasim ain't show ruach ra. There, the issue isn't ruach ra. Ela iser shema yipol b'davar masik. They were concerned about the practicality that maybe something dangerous is going to fall into the food. As he writes, for bein of arad, the ain be dark and lift of el drama noagim is manenu. So the tor and the ran that generally focus on halacha lemaisa. So nowadays, no one eats on beds. You only sleep on beds. If you only sleep on beds, so then you have the concern of Ruach Ra, which is what's highlighted in the Torah and subsequently in Shulchan Aruch. So the Drisha thinks that there isn't fundamentally a machlokas per se. They're talking about two different concerns, and both concerns can exist independently. Right. Right. So he's saying that in the Right. Right. So the drisha. So the Rambam is talking about one okemta, one case. He's not mentioning the other one. Correct. But more likely in the Rambam, whereas the Chalkas Binyamin, Rabbi Binyamin Kohen, Rabbi Elkan Son points out that the Rambam consistently, in many places, kind of minimizes any ruach ra consideration that the Gemara has in different contexts. So the Rambam is more of a rationalist, and ruach ra didn't faze the Rambam so much. So the Rambam minimizes the ruach ra and focuses on a different concern, which may be more limited. In a Hanami, according to the Rambam, we're not concerned about the ruach ra of sleeping. We wouldn't be concerned about something that is mechuzakli barzel. And maybe the Rambam thought that our Gemara was shalok alachar. Our Gemara is for those who are makbid about such things, but not that there's an objective halacha, an objective iser. In the Sefer Toras Chaim, on the Gemara in Bava Basra, Daf Nuchesem and Aleph, the Gemara there has that the mark of a bed of a Talmid Chacham is that it's clean underneath. That an Amaretz has a messy bed, as Rashi says, he has a lot of stuff underneath, including food. And an Amaretz, a Talmid Chacham has a clean bed. The only thing he has under his bed are his shoes. That's the only thing that you should be putting under your bed. So the Toras Chaim there comments that he references our Gemara Misachim. He says, the Talmid Dover Nira, Lefish Ashena Echa Mishishim Bemisahi. So what's his concern about the Ruach Ra that's Shora and food under bed? So it's a bed that you're sleeping on. So Shena is 1/60th of the Misa experience. The Mishal Shena Nishmas Shalad Mutahora Yotzeis. Olahachi Ruach Mesava Shariyala the Inish. So the reason that a Ruach Ra is present is because sleeping is a Kain Misa experience. V'zetam Nitiyo Sidayim Shachris. That's why you wash Nitiyo Sidayim in the morning to remove that Ruach Ra. Ukishu Mahil B'shach Shena La Ochlin. That's a connection to our sedra, that if you're sleeping on top of food, so it's ke'ilu, you're a shtickle dead, and you're mahil, if you're a little bit dead, you're mahil over food. So that creates this ruach tum over the food, and that's why this iser would apply. So according to that concern, so in both directions, it sounds like it's only a problem, or the real problem is where you're sleeping. But if it's under a bed and no one's sleeping there, then there shouldn't be a concern because there's no misa there. That potentially would be a kula. And arguably, according to the Toras Chaim, you end up with the chumra also. We'll have to flesh both of these out. That let's say you're sleeping not in a bed. So maybe if it's a function of sleeping, not a function of bed. So if you're sleeping on a chair and then you have something under the chair, so maybe you have to be concerned about the ruach ra there also, because the issue is sleeping, not the bed per se. In the Madonna Yashir, in the one of the editions of the Madonna Yashir Parsha sheets, so he quotes Achronim that point out that another nafkamina, according to the Toras Chaim, if we're concerned, if the model is olames, so that should be another possible nafkamina. Does it apply if you have food under the bed of a nachri or under a sleeping nachri? So at least machlokas tana, machlokas rishon, machlokas how we paskim, and the ikar adin, we're machmir, the ikar adin. You assume that Tumas Oel is only by Yisrael and not by Akum. And Akum is Matami Ba'ol, Tem Kuyim Adam, Ve'enimus Olam Kuyim Adam. So then it should come out of Kula that we shouldn't be concerned about this din of Ochlan Mashin Tachas Amita if it's Tachas Amita of a Nachri or Tachas a sleeping Nachri. So that's the Machlokas Achronim. The Dark Etshuva discusses this in Sivkatan Lamites. He quotes a Etshuva's Degel Ephraim, that we don't distinguish between Amita Shel Yisrael and Amita Shel Akum. There should be us or even Amita Shel Akum, as opposed to other areas. Let's say if a Yisrael touches food without Netilas Sidayim, so you're not supposed to come in contact with that food. We're not Machmir for Nachri as far as that's concerned. So he doesn't flesh out exactly how the Degel Ephraim develops that distinction. He quotes others that say that as well. But he says, "Ayin sham begos benoba olus Moshe." So why should you distinguish between Nezilas Adayim and Ardin of Ochlim Tachas Amita? That if you're not worried about food that a Nachmi touches and then Nezilas Adayim, so why are you worried about food under his bed? If we really are concerned, then how could you ever go into the store and buy something from an Achri? Maybe it was under the bed. And don't say that's a muted l'shtiach, because by sakana chashinan gam l'miyut lo shtiach. And the Dark Hachuba says he's not so clear why that's an issue, because when it comes to Yisrael, l'dvara pashit hudim Yisrael chashit asir likno shim davar machal amashka mechashat shema. So according to what he's saying, you should never buy anything from Israel either, who's an Amma Aretz, who's a Chashid, then maybe he has stuff under his bed also. Elawat, as we'll see in a few moments, it's not us or anyway. So if that's true, that should be true for Nachri as well. And the Yisrael should apply equally for Nachri. So the Dark Yitzhuva quotes Zachron Musay, that the Yisrael applies to Anachri as well as to Yisrael. And we're not choshesh for either, if you don't know, so you don't have to worry that maybe the food is under the bed. But according to the Torah's Chaim, it should come out that maybe there's a reason to distinguish between under a bed of Yisrael and under a bed of Anachri. Regarding that, which the Dark Yitzhuva referenced about the Eved. So first of all, the Aruch HaShulchan, just to note, the Aruch HaShulchan writes that he observes people aren't makbid about this halach at all, because people are nisr, shomrim sam Hashem, that to the sound that there's a sakan, it's dashabe rabim, and no one's careful about the food under the bed. I believe consensus is that you should be careful about food under your bed, but the Aruch HaShulchan seems to reflect that at least the Navardic people weren't careful. But if you did have food under your bed, b'diyeva, what's the status of that food? So the Piskei Tshuva quotes from the Shvus Yaakov, Chayli Bey's Simon Kofei, who is Mekel. Nearly Pashut, the Ein Kan Chashash is Ebedi Eved. It's only a Chashash L'Chachila. After all, we find in various contexts that the Gemara says you have to be careful that a Chavir shouldn't eat together with an Amma Aretz, because and Amma Aretz would be mostly Darvish Ed Masukah, and he's going to feed food that wasn't meisur properly, that wasn't properly prepared, where there are reasons not to eat it. And then he quotes the Gemara that we just noted above the Basra, that Amita Shel Tamid HaChachamim just has shoes under the bed, as opposed to an Amma Aretz that has a lot of messy stuff under the bed, including food. So he says, Vim Kain, Amaylo Chashash HaChachamim Eich Yochal Imo. So why aren't we worried about eating with the Nama Aretz? Hello, Chamir Zakatim Yisuri should be worried that he had food under his bed. Not just an unlikely possibility he might have had food under his bed. The Gemara says that a Nama Aretz always has food under his bed. That's the mark of the bed of a Nama Aretz. Alavade Pashut, the Cholhani Yerakas Har Lechakilo, Alavade the Eved, Ein Kapei the Klal. It's only l'chachil, not b'di'evin. He says no posek says that you have to be machmir even b'di'evin. The Gaon is quoted as saying that you do have to be machmir b'di'evin. The different versions between the Chachmas Adam and how the Gaon is quoted in later Achronim as to whether the Gaon is only machmir on himself b'di'evin or paskin for others b'di'evin. But the Gaon is of the opinion, or quoted as being of the opinion, that if you have food under bed, it should not be consumed even b'di'evet. Rav Sternbach discusses in a Tshuva Chelek Aleph Simen Ches. It's a couple interesting points in this Tshuva. He quotes a Sefer Nachlas Avos that I'm not familiar with, but he says it's written by a grandson of the Gaon's brother. He writes, Lizar Ma'od Lo Laniach Davar Machal Tachas Mita Filu Derech Arai. You should be very careful not to put any food under a bed, even Derech Arai. Lo Tachas Mita Mamish Ela Filo Yatachas Asafsal O B'Teva, So that's what we suggested based on the Torah's Chaim, a chumrah, that even if it's not under bed, even if it's under a chair, and you're sleeping on a chair and you have food under there when you're sleeping, you have to be machmir that also. Ki chamir sakanta misura. The af in tira davar b'chush ein ma'asik l'shamad ma'ochlin. But you'll say experience has shown that plenty of people ate food that was under their bed and lived to tell about it. Aval du b'ni shalo al guf levad amr. We talk about this kind of sakana. It's not just a physical sakana. We're talking about a ruchniyistik sakana. Well, the nefesh u'mazik b'yosim sakana, that could really be dangerous. Ki devrayim kagachli eish borim ni guf ad nefesh. He called Masenu to Nusenu Hain Latova Lara, Ayupugumim, Miskaimim, Belamas Alyonim, etc. So you wouldn't be able to gauge whether there is this Ruchnius effect because the effect may not be so readily apparent. You have to be Machmir, but he quotes that Chumra is even if it's a chair that someone's sleeping on, not to put food underneath. So Shlomo says that based on the Chumra the Gaon, so he's knowing to be Machmir for himself in both directions, even under a bed where no one sleeps, and if someone sleeps not in a bed. But he acknowledges that's a whole discussion in Achronim. He quotes from Reb Chaim Kanievsky, quoting from the Chazon Ish, that even though the Chazon Ish is personally Machmir like the Gaon, but he was Makel to eat food b'di'evet that was under someone else's bed, meaning for someone else to eat food under someone else's bed. And then Rosh Hashanah discusses, what about a plane? So if you have food under the seat of a plane and you sleep on the plane, or you're sleeping on a bus, you have food under the seat of the bus. So Rosh Hashanah thinks that even if you accept the chumra of the Gaon's brother's grandson, that if you're sleeping on a chair, you have to be concerned about the food under the chair, that's only if it's kind of a kavua sleep situation. But if you're on a plane, so that's more of a temporary kind of sleeping situation. If you're on a bus, so then there's more grounds to be mako, machmir, yachmir l'atzma. And there's a tshuva of the Minchas Yitzchak as well, that Chalkas Ben Yamin quotes in Chela Dal and Simon Kof Yud Zayin, who's make along these lines for various reasons, if you have food under the seat of a baby carriage or baby stroller. Okay, but the real problem is a bed. And in general, Ramachmir leave, even if the food is under the bed. No one's sleeping under the bed, but definitely if someone is sleeping under the bed at the time, that would, lechachila, be avoidable. And generally speaking, many poskim makel based on the Shvus Yaakov, be the Eved, if there was food under bed, not to asr. Okay. The second related topic to this kind of Ruach Ra or Ruach HaToma as an extension of Tumas Oel, is a minhag that Rav Eger quotes in Shulchan Aruch and Hilchos Avelos, Simin Shin Ayin Vav. Rav Eger writes, Nogin Shelo Likach Davar Katan V'Gadim Beis Avel, Kol Meshach Zayin Yimei Avelos. There's a practice not to remove anything, be it big or small, from a Beis Avel for the entirety of Shiva, Mishum Sheruach Hatuma Shorasham Kol Zayin, because it's a Ruach Hatuma that is hovering, that exists in the Beis Avel for the week of Shiva. So Rav Eger quotes this from Eli Rabba. The Eli Rabba, as the Divrei Sofim points out, quotes this from a Sefer Manel Lashon, the authorship of which I'm not familiar. But the Sefer Manel Lashon, that the Divrei Sofim quotes verbatim, notes that this was a prevalent practice in Ashkenaz. But he says it's unclear what the source and the reason is. There's no reference to Rishonim to such a practice. So it developed sometime, or at least the earliest reference to it is in the earlier period, is in the period of Achronim. So he suggests the Manel Lashon that maybe this is based on a kind of Ruach Tumah that exists in a base Avel. So why doesn't it appear in any earlier sources? So he quotes one source that he thinks may support this practice. And that's in Hilchos Kriya, Simon Shin Mem, Sif Lamed Hei. The Mechaber writes, Hamashil Chaveiro Chaluk Leilech Bala Beis Avel. If you lend someone a shirt to wear to go to Beis Avel, Ein a Rasha Litol Mimenu Ad Sheyavri Yemei Avel. So you're not allowed to take it back until the period of Avelos is over. So the Divrei Sofrim, quoting from the Manal Lashon, says that we're talking about someone is going to be wearing a shirt in a Beis Avel. So maybe the concern there is that you can't remove something that goes into Beis Avel from a Beis Avel. And that's why Hamashil Chaveiro isn't allowed to take it back until, it's not that he's not allowed to ask her back, but in practice he can't take it back because it's something that had entered into a Beis Avel. In the Sefer Tziyun Yalacha, written by Rabbi Ben Sion Cook, the Sefer is Psakim from Rav Yashin and Hilchas Avelos. So he quotes that when the stipler would go to be Menachem Avel, the stipler was makbid not to carry anything with him into the Beis Avel, because he was concerned that to remove that which you carry in would be a violation of this minhag, not to remove something from the Beis Avel. But the Tziyun Yalacha quotes that Rav Yashin paskin that you don't have to be choshish for that lalacha, because the minhag that Kivager is referring to is a minhag not to remove something that has a shaykhus to the Beis Avel. The stam, you walk into Beis Avel and you're carrying a notebook in your pocket, so there's no shaykhus to the Beis Avel. That's your possession that you happen to be carrying into the Beis Avel. So that's not included in this minhag. The minhag refers to things that are shaykh to the Beis Avel. Along those lines, the Badr Shulchan writes, page Kuf Yuches, that the Ruach HaTuma that we're concerned about, the Rebbe Kivager references, so that's only Shora on things that were there in the Beis Avel at the beginning of the period of Avelos. So Menachem comes into the Beis Avel at some point, carrying whatever he's carrying, that wasn't there at the beginning of the period of Avelos. But that which was in the house at the beginning of the period of Avelos, that's where the Minhag applies to now remove something from the Beis Avel. But even on that, the Badr Shulchan says, Lo Matzinu, that people really are careful about that, because there are things that are in the Beis Avel that belong to the Avelim, let's say, at the beginning of Shiva. And if an Avel needs to leave, there's no minion in the Beis Avel, he has to go to minion somewhere else. So there are situations where an Avel leaves and he takes his Tal Shvilin with him. He takes other things. So that wasn't the Beis Avel from the beginning. That there are, there's a sefer that the Tzitz Eliezer wrote on Hilchos Avelos called Evan Yaakov. Rabbi Simcha Bonham Cohen quotes this in his recently published Avelos Sefer. So the Tzitz Eliezer suggests that the minhag that Rebbe Kivager references of not removing something from the Beis Avel because of Ruach HaTuma, so that's only applicable to that which was in the area where the mace was nifter. So if the mace was nifter in this house, so then the minhag applies because it's a Ruach HaTuma is a derivative of the fact that there's a mace in this house. So the mace was made somewhere else. There's nothing special about the Beis Avel. There's no Ruach Tuma that develops in the Beis Avel because of the Din Beis Avel. It's a function of the fact that there is a Ptira in that house. And he quotes him a sefer Misgaras HaShulchan that the people only makbid from the, not to take things from the room that the mace was nifter in, not from the rest of the house. So even if you're makbid by the rest of the house, that's just an extension because it's all under one roof. It's an extension of the Makom HaPetira. And he also quotes from the Sefer Yosef Omitz. Yosef Omitz is one of the Sfarim of Menhagi Frankfurt from a few centuries ago. So he writes, Kibalti mimori agon, mashenogen shelalikach mibesa avol shim davar toch zayin, ein lo shim ikar ba'olam. So in Frankfurt, they weren't concerned about such a practice, that there's no source for this. The Amr Shetosa Ba, the Hadda Kasa Poskim, a Mashal Chal Chaveir, Leilchal Beis Avel, Ena Rasha Lito Mimenu, so that Allah that we quoted. See, the Noah Kitson Yosef says, the Yosef Omen, sorry, says that that very halacha was the source of the mistake, he says. Because people misunderstood that based on that, you can't take anything out of a base level. So in Frankfurt, apparently, there was no such minhag. But that's what the Tzitzel Yosef suggests, fairly convincingly, that to the extent that we're concerned about a Ruach HaTumah, it's because of the mace. If there's no mace there, then there's no Ruach HaTumah to be concerned about. And then Rabbi Simcha Ben Cohen also quotes from the Shevet HaLevi that he says, you know, let's say you have there's food in a Beis Avel. If food is brought in to the Beis Avel during Shiva, it's going to go to waste. So someone wants to take it out. So Rav Vosner said, even if there is a minhag, even if the minhag would be relevant in that case not to take out food, but it's, at the end of the day, it's only a minhag. Baal Tashvis is a deraisa.
We lost the sound. We lost the sound. We don't hear you.
You hear me now? Yeah, okay. So, I'm sorry?
I heard his call.
So Rav Vosner says that even if there's a minhag, but you're not going to be mekayem the minhag at the expense of the deraisa Baal Tashvis. So Rabbi Simcha Ben Cohen puts together various reasons to allow taking food out of a Beis Avel where there's excess food. Number one, if the food is brought there after the beginning of the Avelah, so that's one reason. Number two, is not something that's any shaykhus to the Beis Avel per se. It wasn't, if there's no mace there, there's no patira there, it's not in the room where the mace was, that's also another reason. And Baal Tashvis. Rabbi Karp in his Sefer Avelah suggests another reason for this minhag, which isn't really supported by the Maneh Lashon, which is the original source of Rabbi Kivager, and not really supported by Rabbi Kivager's Ruach HaTumah consideration. But he suggests maybe the minhag developed because in a Beis Avel, there's a lot of tumult and people going in and people going out. And there's a concern that in the whole traffic, people may just take various items that belong to the maze without anyone noticing. So in order to prevent the pilfering of the Nichsei HaMeis by people walking into the Beis Avel, there's such a minhag that developed that you shouldn't take anything out of a Beis Avel. It doesn't really fit with the Ruach Tum idea, but Rabbi Karp quotes that as another suggestion as well. Okay. Okay, have a great Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Thank you. Have a good Shabbos.
Yeah.